Tribute. Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.
Hi guys, my name's Niamh O'Connor and this is my podcast Unscripted, a Go Loud original. You might have seen me on social media, but if you haven't seen me on social media, don't worry. There's loads of time to get to know me on this podcast. I spill all of my secrets. I tell you all of my traumas. I cry regularly. I laugh regularly. It's a roller coaster of emotions. Every week, guys, I pick a topic, I talk about it, I try stick to the topic, a lot of the time I don't, and I answer your dilemmas. If you're a new listener, welcome and strap yourself in. Come along with me for the ride. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Thank you for listening every week. On this week's episode of Unscripted, we recapped my holiday to Dubai. We talked about my gym experience, my two-day gym experience that left me on crutches. I told you some funny stories from Dubai and we done our usual trauma dump and dilemmas. Back to them finally. Hello girls and welcome back to episode 30 of Unscripted. Lauren has just informed me that we're 6 months into the podcast. Like, what the actual fuck? Time flies when you're having fun. It doesn't feel like we're doing it 6 months.
How am I dealing with you for 6 months?
How? It genuinely feels like I remember filming there, guys. So basically I filmed a pilot episode before the actual first episode. And I think it's just, what is it? Like a little tester to see how you...
Yeah, it's just make sure you're comfortable in front of the mic, really.
But like, I swear to God, I was shaking. Like you'd want... I actually, do you know what? When we're like way further on, I should go back and listen to that if we still have it and see the fucking difference between the two.
Oh my God, I do still have it. I'm nearly sure I still have it.
No, my voice was shaking. I was literally, I had tears in my eyes trying to talk because I was so awkward, right? At the time, I didn't know Lauren like I know Lauren now. So imagine you're just meeting someone for the first time and you have to go in and like tell your life story on a podcast. It is hella fucking awkward, but it's actually a good icebreaker, I feel, as well. But yeah, we've come a long way now. I have no problem spilling my guts. Guys, this week has been chaos and embarrassing and horrific. So if anybody else has had a bad week this week, buckle up. I'm your sister. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to Ayanapa. I do this thing with Party Hard. So basically they bring me and a couple of other Irish creators away. And there's some really like cool, like big name creators that go on it. Like some of the Welsh Five go on it. So it's pretty cool. We get to go away to like, there's different locations like Ayanapa, Magaluf, Ibiza. I actually only went to Magaluf last year because I was only taking on kind of towards the end of the year, I think. I'm not really sure. But this year the opening party is in Ayanapa. So all of the creators... I didn't really explain that very well. They take like different chunks of creators to each location. So you might go with different creators each time. And there's actually only a few Irish creators, whereas there's quite a few English creators. So anyway, long story short, we're going to Ayanapa, which is the opening party, which means all of the creators that do Party Hard will be there because it's the opening party. So now just to name some of the people that will be there, Willow Gate, Maisie Kendall. Like, are you having a laugh? There's so many, right? They're all like the most beautiful, unreal, like gorgeous. So I was like, right, what am I going to do? I actually need to go to the gym. Like, I can't be dealing with this. So 3 days ago, I went back to the gym. Yesterday, I ended up on crutches. Yesterday. 3 days ago, I ended up back in the gym. And yesterday, I ended up on a crutch. Sorry, not even crutches. VHI, what's going on? You must have some sort of bank account issue because why have I only got one crutch? That's what I need to know. They asked me, do you want a boot or do you want a crutch? And at the time I was like, oh, like the boot is going to be annoying me, like fucking, you know, ruining all my outfits as if I fucking go anywhere. I'll just take the crutch. It's fucking impossible to walk with one crutch. I don't know why they only gave me one crutch now. It's my ligaments. It's soft tissue. So it's like ligaments, tendons, whatever. So I assume the last time when I was a teenager, I tore my ligaments when I was dancing. And they still wanted me to, like, when I did it that time, it was obviously more severe that time. And it was the same foot as well, by the way. But it was more severe that time. So they threw a little kind of like soft casty bandage kind of thing on my foot, and they told me that I had to like rest it but also keep walking on it because that's what kind of heals it, not like walking on it with full weight but trying to put some little bit of weight onto it, you know. I don't know how right that is, But my mother actually took that, right? So they told me absolutely no Irish dancing for 6 weeks. I was bet into the Irish dancing at this time, like dancing at majors, like All Ireland's, Worlds, like was proper, like bet into Irish dancing. So they told me no dancing for 6 weeks, like absolutely no dancing for 6 weeks. And I was like, yeah, no problem. A week and a half later, my mum had me dancing at the All Ireland's. I had a fucking sock over the bandage on my leg. So that's why my fucking foot is so weak now. My dad actually said that yesterday because I'm constantly in pain with that foot. And my dad was like, Niamh, you just have a weakness because your foot wasn't allowed to heal properly. But yeah, that's been my week. It's shit because you know what? It's not that type of injury where you can't put your foot on the ground at all. I can put my foot on the ground, but it's very painful. And then what happens? Because I feel when your foot is broken and you can't put your foot on the ground at all, your brain automatically wires to not put your foot on the ground. You know what I mean? Like your brain knows when it's like, every time you put your foot on the ground. Whereas when it's the type of one that you can, and it's the underneath my foot as well, so it's fucking weird. It's like the side and bottom of my foot and up into my ankle. But it's so weird because when it's that kind of injury, your brain, well, my brain anyway, isn't like registering like don't put your foot down. And I keep like going to walk on my foot with full force and it's so painful. So I've just taken this as a sign that the gym is not for me. If the gym leaves me in crutches after 2 days, how the fuck am I supposed to be a gym rat? Someone please tell me, how do these bitches go to the gym, lift weights, do stair? All I did was the fucking walking, fucking treadmill and the Stairmaster. Like, you'd swear I was after going to the gym and doing a 24-hour run. I was walking out of the gym like, literally dead, couldn't even walk. I'd say the people in the gym were pissing themselves laughing at me. Because how the fuck does somebody do a fucking 45 minutes on a treadmill and half an hour on a Stairmaster and end up not able to walk? Also, on that note, I got a very nasty message yesterday. Let me read you this nasty message that I got. I actually, do you know what? I don't know. I feel like these people are like mentally deranged, like no offense or anything, but I feel like they're honestly so unhinged. So I just don't even like giving them airtime. But something about this message yesterday, because this, I'm obviously not going to say on the podcast, but because this girl, she messaged me saying she meant to send it to her friend, lads, right? And she goes, oh my fucking God, I'm sick of her. She doesn't need VHI. Bearing in mind, I pay €100 a month to VHI. So if I want to skip my fucking ass in that clinic 7 days a week, if I get a cough, if I get a fucking hang, what is it called? A hangnail? Anything, I will. I pay for it. That's what I pay for, bitch. Right? Sorry, I'm getting angry. I'm getting very extremely angry. She's been to the gym 2 times in 2 days. Her body's not used to being out of bed by 2 p.m. What does she expect?
Lads, I actually just need a moment of fucking silence.
This narrative that I lie in bed till 2 p.m. Please, can we understand where it came from? Can we understand where it came from? Because I fucking wish I was lying. I wish I was in bed till 2 p.m. It's fucking 1:30 and I'm in the studio recording the podcast. I swear to God, people do my head in. I think it's because a lot of the time, oh, come on, I'll still have my dressing gown on at 2 p.m. I fucking work from home so I can do my work in my fucking dressing gown. I don't need to be dressed. The fuck am I getting dressed for if I don't need to be? And also, another point to note, I stay up every single night until about 3 a.m. So I get up, like this morning I was up at like 9:30, 10. So that's my normal time to get up. What is wrong with that? Like, if I'm staying up till 3 a.m. in the morning, filming videos, doing work, what is the problem that I don't want to get up at 7 a.m. like you? Sorry, like if I don't have to, I'm not going to. Even when I worked in a normal 9-to-5 job, I worked 10-hour shifts. So I worked 3 p.m. till 12 a.m. or something like that. Was it? I don't know. Is that 10 hours, Lauren? No, that's 8 hours. 1 a.m. 3 p.m. till 1 a.m. That's what it was. I worked in a company called Yapstone and I worked 3 p.m. to 1 a.m. or something like that. We worked 10-hour shifts, right? And I wouldn't get up until fucking 1:30 if I wasn't in work till 3. What is the issue? Like, what is the actual issue? I just thought it was so nasty. And the fact that she meant to actually send it to her friend, I think that's what made it worse. And that's what angered me. I was like, the absolute fucking cheek of you. And then you're writing such nasty things about other females. For what reason? Because I hurt my ankle. And I said, oh, I'm going to go to the VHI. I have an awful habit of oversharing, right? If I get a cough, I'm like telling Instagram I have a cough. And then it leads to people being like, oh my God, there's always something fucking wrong with her. Lads, everyone gets coughs. Like, I just choose to share it, you know? Do you know what I mean? But I swear to God, I'm going to be dying on my deathbed and you just won't fucking know about it. That's it. Because if that's the fucking message I'm going to get for saying I have a sore foot, Oh, anyway, moving on to more positive topics. Let's not give her airtime as if I haven't given her about 10 minutes already. Lads, I haven't actually spoke to you about Dubai since I've been in Dubai. When was I in Dubai? It must be like about a week and a half ago by now that I came home. But I was in Dubai. Woo!
We missed her so much.
Yeah, I was in Dubai and yeah, it was great. I don't know what else I meant to say. The flight was actually amazing, right, lads? The flight on the way over, we flew with Emirates and there was fucking nobody on it. Like, literally nobody on the flight. Me and Alex Bo had a whole row to ourselves. It was amazing. Literally felt like I was, do you know, we had asked in the airport how much was business class and it was a grand. And both of us were like, well, we do it. And then I've become very sensible with money. I don't know what's happened to me, but I've become a sensible girly. So I more or less said, no, like, let's not do it. Like, we can spend that €1,000 over in Dubai on something that's actually meaningful, you know, than fucking business class flight. Now, I'm a bitch for paying for business. I will always upgrade if I can or if it's reasonable. Like, when I was going to New York with Aer Lingus, it was only 600, which I know is so much money. I don't want it to seem like only €1,000, only €600. I know it's like an extortionate amount of money, but I am one of these people that's like, I will pay every cent of my bank account if it means I'm comfortable. Like, comfort means more to me than money. Does that make sense? So that probably means I'm a bit dumb with money, to be honest. But anyways, we ended up not doing the business class and we were fucking delighted then when we didn't. We were like, boo sucks to the idiots that are after paying for business class when there's literally nobody on this airplane. We had a whole row of seats. That's basically business class. And we were getting, I was getting all the pillows from all the other seats because in Dubai you get pillows and blankets, or in Emirates you get pillows and blankets and stuff. And I was putting them all around my seat. So it was full on like I had a business class seat. I was delighted. Way back wasn't so good. Alex put me in a middle seat. He put me in a middle seat on the way there as well. I marched his ass so quick up to the check-in desk to change it. Why are men like that? Like, he wouldn't put himself in a middle seat. Like, a middle seat is like the worst seat of the whole... Nobody wants the middle seat. Like, nobody books the middle seat. And the worst part about the middle seat is your armrests on either side, the two fucking people either side of you that have their own fucking armrests, the one in the window seat that has the whole window starts putting their fucking arms onto the middle seat. So you're left in the middle, like, squashed into a corner with no fucking seat. Awful. Carry on. So the way home, he put me in the middle seat and the flight was full, so I was stuck in the middle seat, but there was two free seats on the whole entire flight. So as soon as boarding was complete, I ran into one of them and it was like a free little, like, two seats together. And then Alex ran into the one behind me. They were right beside the toilet, that's why they were free, and there was two free seats in that one too, like, together. But then these two old ladies came down and something, I think the flight attendant said that their screen was dimmed or something. So would Alex swap with them? And he was fucking fuming. He was furious because then he had to go up and he was back. Like, this was like two seats on its own in an aisle. You know, like, that was the whole fucking row of seats, two seats. Now he had to go up and sit in a seat of four with loads of other people. But I got away with it, so it was great. We did so much over there, guys, that it's actually really fucking hard to remember what we did. But you know one thing I'm going to advise? If you're over in Dubai, do not pay big money going to these restaurants. Go to Dubai, what is it called? The Dubai Fountain. You know, Dubai Mall at the Dubai Fountain. They literally have, oh my God, it's called, Lauren, will you look it up? Is it PF Chang's or PG Chang's? I can't remember. It's a Chinese restaurant. It is the nicest food I've ever had in my life. And it's right in front of the Dubai Fountain. You get to watch the fountain show. It happens every couple of minutes. It is insane. And Nando's is there as well. There's so many lovely restaurants that don't... What is it? PG or PF?
PF Chang's.
Right. There's so many lovely restaurants that literally cost... Well, they're in Dubai, so they still cost a lot of money. But nowhere near the price of, like, actually booking a restaurant and going. And, you know, like, we done Nusrat one of the days and it was €150 each. Like, we got this thing that was €300. It was fucking dog shit, like, actual dog shit. I was fuming. I would have rather to go down and have a PF Chang's at the fucking Dubai Fountain. So that's one piece of advice if you want to go to Dubai and just not spend ridiculous amounts of money. The fountains are way nicer. Like, you get to sit in front of the Dubai Mall, in front of the Burj Khalifa, watching the fountain shows because they all have outdoor dining. And you could be eating a Nando's, you could be eating a PF Chang's. And honestly, so, so much better than paying mad money to go to one of these like big fancy fucking restaurants. What else did we do? We done like, you know, the usual desert thing, water park. We did the water park, and then we realized, so we went to Atlantis. I think it's Atlantis Water Park, and it's like the biggest water park in the world or something. But we realized we actually only, because we came out of it and we were like, that didn't seem that big. We only actually done one area. We were Scarlet. We done a route, oh my God, Cloud 22. Guys, for anybody that is going to Dubai, right, everybody talks about Aura Sky Pool, go to Cloud 22. It is so nice. It is so expensive. That's one thing about Dubai. It is not cheap. Like, it is ridiculously expensive. If you are going to Dubai, make sure that you have like a very decent amount of money saved, because to actually experience any of the like things that people talk about over there, it is crazy money. It's my third time in Dubai. The other two times was when I was rolling in it in fucking OnlyFans money. So I wouldn't have even noticed that it was expensive. But this time I really noticed it, because your girl ain't rolling in it anymore. So I really noticed how expensive it was. But it's honestly, it is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I was about to say country. You know, I thought Dubai was country for the longest time.
Not a country?
No, it's a city.
It's in the UAE.
It's not actually a country. It's like, I don't really understand how the UAE works. It's like loads of these cities have come together and just formed a country, I think. Like, it's Dubai. What's the other big one? It's the fucking capital of it.
Abu Dhabi.
That's it. Yeah. I'd love to see Abu Dhabi as well. United Arab Emirates. It's Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Sharjah, Ajman, Umm Quwain. I'm probably butchering these. I'm very sorry. And Fujairah? Was that right? I don't know. But yeah, it's like seven like cities that have come together and formed a country. It's actually pretty cool. And it was Ramadan while I was over there, which I was not worried. Like, I don't want it to seem like, oh my God, I'm not going there when it's Ramadan. Like, not that at all. I literally lived in Turkey. Like, so I'm well used to like Ramadan and the Islamic culture, whatever. But I was thinking, is things going to be shut down? Like, is it going to be different? Because in Turkey, not actually shut down in Turkey, in Kusadasi where I lived, but in other parts of Turkey that were more conservative or, you know, weren't tourist destinations, things would close, I'm pretty sure. A lot of Turkish people actually didn't do Ramadan. And I think it's, well, Dubai is like 90% expats. So anyways, long story short, Ramadan actually didn't change anything. Everything was open. The mall was a little bit more quiet during the day. And then you'd see people at nighttime, obviously after they broke their fast, come into the mall. But it really made no difference. The only difference I'd say it did make is you're a little bit more cautious about maybe eating or drinking or smoking in public, because obviously some of the people that are around you in Dubai aren't going to be able to eat or drink or smoke because they're doing Ramadan and they're fasting. Which, fair, I actually, do you know when I lived in Turkey, is it bad for me to say this? But you know, when I lived in Turkey, I used to be in awe at like people being able to fast for that long, for that amount of time. Like, the dedication, I don't think we actually deep the dedication that it would take to your faith to be able to fast from, like, they're fasting from morning to night, and like they don't even drink water. Like, in Turkey, a lot of people I knew didn't even brush their teeth, because then that would be ingesting water. It's crazy, but like, I actually tip my hat at anybody that can do that, because I can't even do Lent. Like, I literally can't do Lent. Giving up chocolate is too much for me. So yeah, it was Ramadan. That didn't change anything. The only thing, actually, so there's a lot of like myths about Dubai, right? Like, when I was over there, there was a lot of people saying, can you wear that to outfits I was wearing? Dubai is 90% expats, right? And I'm not encouraging anyone to go to Dubai, because I know there is a dark side to Dubai as well. I'm not encouraging or discouraging anybody to go, okay? I went to Dubai. That's my choice. So there is like this mentality that like you can't wear shorts, you can't wear tops, you can't wear normal clothes that you would wear in Spain. Like, you very much can. Maybe not Ibiza clothes, like, but you can definitely wear the clothes that you would wear normally on a holiday. The only thing I would say is be a little bit more conscious if you go over during Ramadan, because obviously it is their holy month. So, you know, a lot of the places are fine, like, but I wouldn't be walking around Dubai Mall in like a little tiny top with your boobs hanging out kind of thing, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's like, I think that's one of the major misconceptions of Dubai. Like people always say to me, because I've been three times, people always say, Niamh, are you sure? Like you can wear that. Lads, I have never had an issue. Like never. Like I've been to Dubai three times. I've worn whatever I wanted every time and I've never ever ever had an issue. I've also never had an issue with like holding hands in public, like giving your partner a kiss in public, like nothing like that. I think, I don't know, maybe it used to be that way years ago, but Dubai is 90% expats now, so 90% of the people that actually live in Dubai are not from Dubai, they're from other countries. So I suppose with more expats coming in, maybe it became more relaxed, you know. Obviously, be careful in any country that you're in and make sure that you do follow their laws, you don't break their laws, and you're respectful to their culture. But yeah, I'm pretty sure there's no law against wearing tank tops. I think that's something that the Western world has made up about Dubai. Obviously, a lot of the Emirati women mightn't, but the expats, they wear whatever they want. Anyway, moving on. How did we get... I don't know what I'd be talking about on this podcast, lads. Oh my God, lads, I have some funny stories from Dubai for you. So the first one, the fucking first one, is dinner in the sky. So I'm petrified of heights, girls, like to the point where I can't even do a cable car. I was the one that wanted to do dinner in the sky. Something came over me and I was like, I want to conquer my fear of heights. Because do you know what? I seen it. And I've been to so many places. Like I've been to Disney World in Orlando. I've been to, what was the other one? Universal Studios. And both of those, I wouldn't go on any of the like big major roller coasters. And I still think about it to this day. Because I don't know if I'll ever be able to go back there. It's so expensive. Like literally cost about 10 fucking grand to go to fucking Disney World. I don't think people have any idea of the cost. That might be a bit dramatic. But like it's at least, if you're on for like a week or 2 weeks, we went for 2 weeks. Yeah, it probably is. If you're bringing, because I brought both of my brothers and I paid for all of us. It probably cost me over 10 grand. It's hella expensive. So I really regret to this day that I didn't go on a lot of the roller coasters. So I said, I'm not seeing this, not going on it and going and regretting it. Long story short, Alex is winding me up the whole day coming up to it. Like, what if you die? Like, you know, all of the usual shit that he does. We get on it, girls. He couldn't speak. Like, I mean, he physically could not speak. His face was drained of colour. Like, this boy, I've never seen anything like it in my life. He was grabbing onto the table in front of him, beside him. He wouldn't, like, let go of the table. Like, it was actually, I felt like crying for him. And I have the video footage, like, I'm literally being like, let's play I Spy, babe. Like, I'm trying to distract him. And he's like, not even give me an answer. And his face, lads, like you seen in my little vlog that I put up, his face was like ghost white. Like he looked like he was going to vomit the whole time we were up there. I was grand. Not a bother to me. It was like the most random fucking thing. I was fine. Like I was nervous going up and my heart was beating. And but I'm very good at like, if I just put myself in this mindset of you're not going to die. Like hundreds and thousands of people have done this before you and been fine. There was one incident, but they were all fine. So... did you know that one of them the strings broke?
No, I saw Alex reposted a TikTok about it falling.
Yeah, it fell, but it didn't fall to the ground because it was just, they have like three strings and only one of them broke. And like realistically, what's the chances of all three strings breaking? Like very small, I'd say.
I just have to say, when I seen he was doing this, I texted her to see how she was getting on, and she sent me this picture of Alex, and the man looked about 20 years younger. He was petrified.
Yeah, he did. That's what I kept saying. I felt like he was real, like he had gone into like this little ball of smallness. Like I felt real bad for him, girls. Like honestly, I know I'm laughing about it, but I did. And God bless him. Once we got down, he was fine. But it was just the weirdest thing because I was fine. Like not a bother on me. Grand. But you know what it is? Me and Alex talked about it. Alex is severely claustrophobic, like to the point where he couldn't even do the salt mines in Krakow. Like that's how claustrophobic he is. If he knows he can't immediately exit somewhere, he won't do it. So he said that it wasn't the actual height that got him. It was actually the fact that he couldn't just walk out of the table and leave. Whereas with me, it was the heights. And I feel like a fear of heights is easier to get over than claustrophobia. I don't know, maybe people will disagree with me, but I do, because with a fear of heights, if you just put yourself in that situation, that's it, you've done it, you've conquered it, and you're going to get an adrenaline rush from a good feeling. Whereas with claustrophobia, like you're panic, like claustrophobia is very, very panicky. Like it's literally, I don't know, maybe people will disagree, but I feel like a lot of people have a fear of heights, whereas claustrophobia is like, if you have severe claustrophobia, I feel like that's worse. But then again, right? Oh my God, girls, we got on the jet skis the next day. Now, me and Alex were meant to share a jet ski. Last minute, Alex decides, no, I want to experience it like properly, like both of us get a jet ski. Forces me to get my own fucking jet ski, even though I was not comfortable with driving a jet ski. Literally, people die on jet skis, like. So I wasn't comfortable driving a jet ski, but I was like, do you know what? Fuck it, I'll just do it. And then the fucking jet ski person started ganging up on me, being like, you'll have much better experience with two jet skis. Of course, you're going to say that because you want us to fucking pay for another one, mister. So anyway, I ended up getting my own jet ski. And we get on the water. I'm shitting myself. Like, he's winded me up beforehand and I'm shitting myself. We get on the water. I'm grand. Along the water. No bother jumping over the waves. Not a bother to me. I look behind me. So you have to go in a line on the jet skis, because the one we done, you jet skied over to the Burj Al Arab. And you have to jet ski like with a very big distance between the jet skis, because they don't want you to crash. They don't want you to damage the jet skis. So Alex was behind me. And he was last. I look behind me. Alex is nowhere to be seen. I'm looking into the ocean, into the horizon. Alex is nowhere to be seen. I'm panicking. I'm like, is he after getting drowned? Is he lost at sea? What is going on? Next thing you know, I see the trainer turn around and go all the way back nearly to the start, right? And then come back like shaking his head, right? And then he's like telling us to slow down, just to slow down for a minute. Next thing you know, you see Alex coming along the water. Like, you know, one of those nannies in the mobility scooters. Like, that is literally what he was like in the water. He was going at about 2 miles an hour. He was petrified of the jet ski. Petrified, was convinced. I don't know what he thought, because you're wearing a life jacket. So like, unless you crash into someone, I'd say you're pretty safe. Like, if you fall in the water, you're okay. You're wearing a life jacket. You're going to float. You know what I mean? Someone's going to see you. You're in an ocean in Dubai where there's loads of people around you. And that's why you have to keep the distance, because the most dangerous part is if you crash and you get fucked off the jet ski, then you can die, and people have died from that way. But he, I don't know what he was doing, lads. He was miles behind. He has a video of it, but he won't upload it because the trainer videoed us at the Burj Al Arab doing like circles at the Burj Al Arab or whatever. And Alex is literally going at about 2 miles an hour. It's just the funniest thing ever. He gets karma every fucking time that he slikes me. And I'm so happy, because that means the gods above are looking down on me. My nanny's looking down on me. Everyone's looking down on me, giving him karma.
Oh, please. Can I see that video?
Yeah, I'll get him to send it. Hold on. Let me ring him. I don't know if he'll answer. Let's see.
Has been forwarded to...
Oh, not getting the answer, lads. Sorry.
I would have loved if he had a funny answering phone thing.
No, he doesn't. He's boring.
Hi, this is Alex.
No, he's boring.
Do you have a voicemail? I don't set up.
I don't know. Ring
ever.
Mine. Ring my phone and see. Okay.
What, do people still set up voicemails? Like, I've really not.
It's ringing on my watch. Not on my.
Has been forwarded to voicemail.
Oh no, there you go.
There, it just automatically did it. Oh my God, I got scammed. I got scammed of chocolate. How could I forget that? I paid €120 for 3 Dubai bars, right? So usually the fixed chocolate bars, you get them on Deliveroo and they're like €16 a bar, which is still atrocious, but a lot cheaper. And I think you can get like 6 for €120. We were in Dubai Mall and there's one stand in Dubai Mall. It's like a cafe that sells fixed chocolate bars, right? So I'm in Dubai Mall. I go to get them and I don't even ask the price. I have an awful habit, girls, and it's from when I did OnlyFans and I was just had too much money. I fucking don't have that anymore, so I need to cop on. But I never asked the price of anything. Like, I told you on the podcast, right, when I went into Lululemon and accidentally spent €1,000 because I just never checked the price. And I know people are going to be like, you're so privileged. I'm not able to do that. It's a bad habit, girls, right? Anyways, get to the till and I hear her saying to someone beside me, 150 dirhams. But I assumed that that was for like multiple. I didn't assume it was just for one. Get to the till. She doesn't tell me the price. I'm like, first red flag. And she just puts the card reader to me and I stupidly tap my card. And check my bank account right after and it was €120. For 3 chocolate bars. When I tell you, I'm still not over it. I haven't even eaten 2 of them. I didn't even fucking like them. Our chocolate in Ireland is so much better. Like, because we have Irish butter and we just have better chocolate in general. The Irish versions are so much better. The Sugar Plum one is so much better. People are convinced that I'm being paid by Sugar Plum Sweetery, by the way. And I'm not. I swear to you, I am absolutely not. And they sent me some chocolate bars yesterday, but the chocolate bars before that I bought with my own money. I just love their fucking chocolate, but it's so much better than the ones in Dubai. So there you go. Right, guys, we're going to go into our trauma dump. Lauren, do you want to hit me with it?
So I'm going to try and make this as short as it can possibly be. But basically, I was in a two-year relationship when I was about 17. So as you can imagine, I thought it was literally the be-all, end-all. I thought my life would be over without this relationship. Like, obsessed. So we literally seen each other in our mind, like, every single day in them 2 years. He turns around one day and breaks the news to me that he is going to visit his auntie in France. His mom was kind of like sending him over because he was acting the bollocks over here, like, you know, drugs and stuff. So apparently his mom was like, okay, you're going over to your auntie's for 3 weeks to sort your head out and you can work over there for the 3 weeks. So I was like, when I heard this, inconsolable, like literally bawling, like someone had died, like dramatic, I know. Fast forward, the day comes where he's going, I'm bawling. I'm like, please ring me every day. Like, he's like, of course I will. Like, he lands. He rings me, he's like, look, I've landed, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, grand. Kind of had calmed down then a bit. So fast forward 2 days go by and his phone's off. So I'm like, what the fuck? I'm freaking out, I'm crying. I'm like, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's at a girl's house. So another 2 days go by, his phone's still off. At this point, I'm like, literally, I'm getting a fucking flight to France. But so I find his cousin's name that I've never spoke to on Facebook. I'm like, hey, could you please get him to call me? I don't know what's up with his phone. And his cousin's like, oh, so sorry, his phone's been broke, he'll call you after work. He basically just tells me this every single night, to the point then his cousin even stops replying to me. So fast forward again, 3 whole months have come by and he never contacted me. Like, so a 2 year relationship, he just never contacted me. He ended up staying there for a whole 3 months instead of 3 weeks. I had to find out that he was back in Ireland because he was spotted at Longitude. So my mind is fucked at that point. I'm like, why would he just throw away a relationship in the most harshest way by like just abandoning me like that? So the first time I had heard from him after the 3 months, I had a house party because my mom and dad felt so bad for me. They were like, look, you can have a party in your house for your 18th. And the next day I get a text from the rat saying, oh my god, did you actually have a fucking house party without me? Like, all them boys, like, that's disgusting. We're still together and stuff. I'm like, you're claiming me as your girlfriend still after fucking not speaking to me for 3 months and not even telling me you're back in the country? And the question that everyone, I'm sure, wants to know, yes, I stupidly did get back with him, but I soon came to my senses and ended up breaking up with him and never seeing him again. Thank god. But yeah, that was traumatic for me at the time.
Oh my god, what a fucking loser. That is giving loser energy. What a loser. Like, how the fuck are you just gonna go, do you know what, like, you're better than me because I'd have a fucking Garda police search out. I shit you not. If do you know, one time Alex went out drinking and he stayed out like longer than, I think we spoke a little bit about this on the Alex episode, did we? I think he stayed out longer than he was meant to. And I was full blown, like, texting his whole family and everything, being like, see, okay. Because his phone, I don't know what happened. His phone had died for about 2 hours. Anyways, I'm a skit. Like, I'm having a full Garda police search out looking for you if something like that happens. So you're better than me.
I want to know, did he actually go to France? Like, even for a day?
Maybe. And maybe that was his excuse, but then he came back. But, like, how do you think he'd get away with that?
Imagine the shock, though. Like, you're fully accepting that you've broken up and then he just pops back up and is like, hey, why didn't you invite me to your house party?
Yeah, what a loser. Obviously he just wanted the fucking party, like. And do you know what as well, I'd say it's the fact that when he seen you with other lads, then that triggered his jealousy. I'd say that's what it is.
You always want what you can't have.
Sorry lads, if I'm a bit lacking in energy, I'm like severely constipated, so my stomach feels really sick. And then I also got put on Tylex for my ankle, so it's like constipation and Tylex. So I'm after running to the toilet a minute ago and literally was like gagging in the toilet. I feel like I'm going to vomit all the time. So sorry for my lack of energy in this week's episode. Right, lads, we have a few dilemmas. I haven't done these in a while. Probably better off because I'm probably more sane not doing them, but let's go.
You must be feeling rusty at this stage.
Yeah. God only knows what I'll come out with now.
So your first dilemma says, "Hi, Niamh. I've been with my boyfriend for almost 2 years. When we first started dating, I didn't know that he was texting with a girl, but I didn't think of it much because we weren't exclusive yet. He told me his best friend hooked up with her, and that's how he knows her. Apparently they went out once, but it wasn't a date, and she did have a thing for him. I never thought of it much until almost a year into us being together. I saw her name on his phone. She texted him, but he didn't want to say it to me. He only admitted it to me when I brought it up that I saw it. He told me that it's nothing and that I'm overreacting. He showed me all the messages. She texted him some photos she found of him and then kept texting each other to catch up. She asked him if he had a girlfriend, even though I know she knew about me because she would like every picture on his Instagram and he posts me a lot. I tried letting it go, but I couldn't. So I asked him to unfollow her and remove her from everywhere because it just wasn't sitting right with me that she would text a guy that she clearly knows has a girlfriend and that he would keep it from me. It took a lot of crying and begging, but he blocked her. We've been fine since, but I keep having a feeling that he's hiding something about her. Should I go and ask his friend that apparently hooked up with her if he actually did? If it turns out that he was lying to me about it, what should I do? Please help a girl out."
Okay, I would absolutely fucking ask his friend, but I also wouldn't trust his friend's response. Boys lie for each other, okay? They lie for each other. Do you think that his friend is going to tell you if he's been disloyal? Absolutely fucking not. I know there is some that would, but like, I feel like the vast majority will lie for their friends. I suppose girls probably lie for their friends too, so I'm being a bit hypocritical here, but I don't know though. I don't think girls would be as quick to lie about something like cheating as boys would. Anyways, let's not make this a chat. Why do I make everything a gender war? I don't think it should take crying and begging for him to block someone that's irrelevant to their life. Like, if that girl is irrelevant to his life, why does it matter if he's blocked her? You know, like, I don't get that. If someone came to me and was like, "It makes me really uncomfortable," I'd be like, "Yeah, no worries, bye." Like, I don't care about that person. You know, so it's kind of a tough one. But like, I think girls always have to listen to their intuition, and your intuition is always fucking right. Always. Like, even in scenarios in my life, I look back and I'm like, should have listened to myself, should have listened to that pit in my stomach, I knew this. So I think your gut is trying to tell you something. So I don't think asking his friend is a bad move to make. I think the only thing you need to be wary of is that his friend could lie, and it might be worth trying to find some other way. Like, what about actually just speaking to her? Like, a lot of the time, girls will be honest with each other. Like, even if one is acting the maggot and doing things they shouldn't be doing, a lot of the time they will still be honest. So I would ask his friend. I'd also ask her and, like, speak to her, like, on a girl level. Like, don't go in attacking, kind of be like, "Look, this is, like, girl to girl, please, I need to know," kind of vibe. But yeah, I think your intuition's always right. I would listen to your gut, and it should not take crying and begging for him to block her.
It's bad that I read it and I thought the fella kind of sounds nice. Like, he's always posting her and all. Like, I was kind of like,
I feel like that's the bare minimum though. Like, I feel like girls get so worked up, like, "Oh yeah, well, he posts me." That's the fucking bare minimum. Like, you know, the way Alex Earl literally broke up with a fella because he didn't post her, because it's the bare fucking minimum. Like, we get so worked up over these little things and feel like they're being nice by posting us. Like, how's that being nice? Like, is that not just what partners do? You know, but then there is the element of, like, if he's cheating, is he going to be posting her? But then if the other girl knows about her, then sure, what difference does it make, you know? Now, don't get me wrong, I know a lot of boys that cheat won't post their girlfriends for obvious fucking reasons. But also, I feel like a lot of boys that cheat do post their girlfriends. I've had men in my DMs, like, trying to get on to me with profile pictures with their girlfriends, you know? So I don't think posting, I don't know, like, the crying and begging to block someone is too much for me. Like, you shouldn't have to cry and beg. Like, if I said to Alex, "Oh, will you block this person?" and I had to cry and beg for her, I'd be like, "Do you know what? Fuck you. Go be with her." Like, clearly you have some sort of obsession with her. That why you won't block her, like.
So your next dilemma is actually our first voice note dilemma.
Okay.
This is, like, so weird, but I love Niamh. I love the podcast. You are doing amazing. I am a similar age to you and kind of have a similar background to you when it comes to relationships, especially, which, if you've read our messages back and forth, you know. But I was just wondering, what is Niamh's opinion of, like, when you get into your first healthy relationship after your non-healthy one? I'm not going to use the A word. After your non-healthy relationships. I am in that relationship now, my first one after my non-healthy relationship, and we live together and everything, but I feel extremely toxic sometimes to him in the way that my brain has like portrayed love after being in that relationship for so long. I'd just love to hear Niamh's opinion of it in the pod. If she would be able to give her opinion or advice on it, I'd really appreciate it. I literally listen every week as soon as it comes out when I'm in work. So yeah, if she could give a girl a bit of advice, that'd be great. Thank you.
I actually relate to you on such a deep level when you mention about like sometimes feeling a bit toxic. Our brains, like after coming out of something that like realistically affects your whole brain, like it affects your view on life, it affects your self-worth, it affects everything. It affects how you communicate because you learn unhealthy communication techniques or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Like a lot of the time these relationships, they cause you to kind of live in fight or flight mode. And I feel like that's a really hard habit to break. And like, there's still so many times where like, I can't cope. Like for me, for example, if me and Alex have a little argument, Alex likes to go off, like be on his own for an hour, like not speak to me. Whereas because of my past relationship, I'm like, no, I need you to speak to me right now. We need to resolve this right now. And like that is toxic when he just wants his own like space for an hour, you know what I mean? But that's not because like I'm a toxic person or you're a toxic person. It's because we're so scared of, I don't know, for me, I feel like it's because I'm so scared of, my ex used to do the silent treatment to me where like for days on end, he would just leave the house, ignore me, not answer phone calls, not answer text messages. And I'm so triggered now by just not resolving things immediately. And it is triggers that you kind of have to learn to get over. When I first got with Alex, it was kind of, I was a mess. Like I was a mess. And Alex will tell you that. Like I was so erratic, breaking out in tears over silliest things. Very, probably codependent a little bit at the beginning, I would say. Like, whereas now I feel like I've definitely learned a lot and grown a lot. And like Alex has helped me in a lot of ways. I feel like your relationship after is very healing. Like I feel like your partner now is probably extremely healing. You mightn't even realize it yet, but you will. You probably do realize it. You live together. So I think it's really difficult. And I think there is definitely an element of like you pick up a lot of toxic traits. Like if you spend years with someone who's very, very toxic, whatever it might be, you're going to then pick up on, you're going to pick up toxic habits and toxic traits. That's natural. Like its environment is where you pick up habits and pick up fucking, you know, whatever. So I personally feel like coming out of that, it's just a matter of time and healing and patience. Like I feel like your partner needs to be patient. You need to be patient with yourself and you need to be gentle to yourself. And your partner needs to be gentle to you. I'm sure he is. And I think just communicating that, like, you know, I feel you on such a deep level because sometimes something will happen and I'll be like, I acted so stupid. Like, that is actually not a big deal. Like, a few weeks ago on the podcast, I told you that Alex moved a box and I lost the plot over him moving this box. But it was just because I had said not to move it and he moved it. And that really fucking upset me because my ex never respected anything that I wanted or anything that I ever said. And I think that's why now I'm like, it's principle, it's principle. So I'm rambling on now, but I feel you and I get you. And it's just about communicating. Like if you do have a moment where you feel like you acted toxic or you were triggered by something that really isn't that big of a deal, it is okay. That is human. You know what I mean? We are all human. I think the biggest thing is that you talk about it and you're like, I'm really sorry. Like this is why I acted that way. In future, this is what we can do to avoid that. That sort of thing. And it is just, again, being kind to yourself. Narcissistic abuse, I know you didn't explicitly say that word, but narcissistic abuse causes brain damage. It actually causes brain damage and it damages your brain. That doesn't go away overnight. That doesn't go away in a week. That doesn't go away in a year. That takes years and years and years to heal your brain, to heal you, to heal everything that you've gone through. And a lot of the responses that we have after coming out of those sort of relationships are actually PTSD. Like that's what they are. I know a lot of my responses sometimes, especially what I was telling you about how Alex likes to just kind of, you know, go off and like be by himself and like not talk to anybody. And I'm like, no, I need to resolve it right now. In this moment, we need to shout at each other and then fix it right now. Like, you know what I mean? That's a PTSD response because I hate, like, I see if Alex is like, I'm just going to go for a drive and clear my head. I'm like, no, like literally, I think he's going to leave and never come back because that's what my ex did. So it's a PTSD response and it's totally normal, totally natural. And I think the biggest thing is that we just be kind to ourselves, and these things will heal gradually over time, but it's not a quick process. It's not going to happen overnight. And it's really important that both ourselves and our partners are very kind to ourselves. That's it. Guys, I know I haven't like fully spoke about like my experience and what happened to me on the podcast, and I probably will eventually. I don't know if I'll ever like divulge every single fucking detail, because honestly, it's really like, see, even now I'm welling up, like I want to cry. It's still very fresh for me. Like, it's been 3 years, but that is still really, really fresh, and it still impacts my life a lot today. Like a lot, like literally every single day. It's just something that I haven't touched on yet, but hopefully eventually I will, to some extent anyway. Guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. As usual, if you have any dilemmas or trauma dumps, you can send them over to us at UnscriptedGoLoud on Instagram or unscripted@goloudnow.com. Make sure that you're following our socials, guys. I lecture you about this every single week, but you better be following. Make sure you're following, and I'll see you again next week. Same time. See you there. Mwah.
Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.